first, though. It's always good to have him on. Don't have him on often enough. And it's good to have some catch-up, as I like to say, on this Wednesday morning. The supervisor does a great job over in the town of Southall, one of my favorite areas. And always a welcome addition. Scott Russell, his name is. Sir, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It is always a pleasure to have you on. I haven't spoke to you in a while, so let's get right to it, Scott. Give us the latest in the town, businesses, small ones, Main Street, US of A. You got a great one out there.
Yep.
How have they been handling this pandemic? Many have struggled. Just did a financial report with our man, Craig Ferrantino, regarding, you know, what's happening out there. A lot of people quitting jobs and whatnot, putting more businesses in peril. Give us the landscape in your neck of the woods, sir.
Yes, the pandemic obviously hit everybody very hard. Some of the businesses did not survive it. Some of the doors never opened again. A lot of the businesses, though, did open up. They made the best of the circumstances. They're trying to build back. Some, probably some industries a little bit more quickly than others. One of the common themes, however, is finding employees. It is nearly impossible. The signs are in the door looking for help. Help wanted everywhere, and they just can't seem to find the staffing they need. And that's almost becoming as big a challenge as finding customers, you know. It's become very difficult.
And you're right there. What's their outlook? I mean, the ones who are kind of hanging on by their fingernails. I mean, listen, you got to have people working at places in order for you to thrive in business.
Right.
What is their outlook? I mean, are they keeping a positive outlook? What's the pulse over there as far as the owners are concerned?
I would say overall positive. We've had a very robust summer. We're heading into a very busy fall. As usual, our fall is probably our busiest season. The businesses seem to be doing very well. The only anxiety is we're seeing long-standing businesses, you know, iconic businesses who are always open 7 days a week, cutting their hours to, you know, closing 2 days a week just to accommodate for the fact that they don't have the staffing to keep the doors open those other 2 days. So here you have people coming out of a pandemic, these businesses who are already trying to catch up on the cash flow, on the income flow, finding themselves having to close more than they want to simply because they can't get the staffing in place. So it's almost like coming out of a pandemic and then going into a labor shortage is a double hit for a lot of these businesses.
So we'll keep an eye on that. And again, you know, you see some light at the end of the tunnel as far as the COVID cases on the decline. Let's get to an area. You know, I talked about this extensively between this 8-day period, Scott, of overdoses that happened back in August. I think there were 9 of them, 6 deaths, the fentanyl and everything else. But it was really kind of centered on the East End. And I know you've been going through a lot with all that's been going on out there, but this has been a very big story, a lot of focus. You know, there's been a lot of focus as far as how cases have been handled regarding certain individuals who might have been apprehended and then, you know, back on the street again. What can you tell us as far as the feel of the communities out there? I know they got hit very hard by this.
I think that the original or the initial shock, the initial sadness has moved into, a desire to take action to make sure things like this don't happen again. I know at the town board level, we're putting together a series of programs that's going to be based on outreach to the community, education. We're going to bring people in that are experts in the field of recovery, things like that. People need to understand even recreational drug use is very dangerous now. Fentanyl is present everywhere. And I think anybody in the field will tell you that, certainly in law enforcement will say fentanyl shows up anywhere. And anytime you want to use anything, even a recreational product like cocaine or something, you're rolling the dice every time. So those are the types of messages, the type of information we're going to get out there. We're going to be utilizing law enforcement to share their experience, counselors, people from recovery, the whole thing. So we're organized. I'm organizing that now with an old friend of mine who is an expert. She's an expert and has a program that does just this. So.
You know, listen, it's all about discussions and communication and everything else. You're right. Scott Russell with us, supervisor of Southfold. Let's head over. Now, speaking of that, what about, you know, a lot of towns, Scott, have opted out regarding, you know, the cannabis laws that will go into effect and everything else, recreational use. I'm talking about a marijuana. How has the town reacted to that based on a lot of different events out there?
The town probably, other than when it initially was adopted at the state level, it initially passed, and we had some pretty robust discussions. I'm going to be candid. We probably set it to the side a little bit more than we should have. We probably should have had it out front and center and discussed it more. We focused on the last few months. We focused more on how to allow it in the form of a referendum. In other words, I think you have six board members. I'm uncomfortable with six board members making a decision that can have community-wide impacts or certainly community-wide policy. I wanted to have a referendum. I want to put it in the hands of the public. The law apparently precludes us from doing that, so we're still looking at that angle. Ultimately, it should be up to the public, not to me, for making such fundamental changes in policy. And policies and laws. So,
certainly that has been a big topic, a lot of back and forth there. You know, lots of conversation these days in Suffolk County, Scott Russell, regarding sewer expansion, water quality, and everything else. I know that was in the news a while back. Where are we at as far as the hookups and everything else out in the communities out there?
It's the village of Greenfoot that has the only sewer system, operating sewer system in the town. So most of their expansion, obviously, is outside the village into the town, into the greater area around the town, on the perimeter of the village. And there's quite a bit of expansion that they're trying to get done, especially in areas where you already have existing businesses and houses, and it's in everybody's environmental best interest to get them hooked up. But it's an expensive proposition. So the issue is the sewering is great, but getting the lines in is great. Getting people off of private septic systems onto a public sewering system is great. How are you going to pay for it? And that's always been the challenge. I know the village of Greenfoot has worked very hard and has secured grants to offset some of those costs. But the village is meeting with the community now and working on a plan of action to it's not for me to speak, to what their, you know, role is, but I can tell you the village of Greenfoot, the mayor, Hubbard, and the rest are very committed to doing what they can to make sure that the sewer system is reaching as far and wide as it can. And they're having those discussions now. And I enjoy working with them. A very, very professional group of committed individuals.
Yeah, and listen, you're right. Cost factor is always going to be at the center of it all. But people want to know this stuff. Talk to me a little bit about the wind plant. I know there's a lot of discussion regarding the offshore wind stuff and everything else. I know it's been dormant for a while, but where do we stand right now as far as energy and the offshore wind plants from way back?
The public, they haven't really raised the opposition or the issues you might see in other communities about offshore wind technology, offshore wind machines. I know, Jones Beach, those areas actually from my old, where I grew up, those areas, there's always been a lot of pushback. I don't know what it's like on the South Fork right now, but I know on the North Fork, there really isn't much pushback. The community's always been very embracive of alternative and renewable energy. I think, obviously, when technology on in the middle of farm fields would probably pose some opposition. But based on the current proposal, I don't see any opposition at the local level. And like I said, I think the community's been embracing alternative and renewable energy very well. I put a committee together years ago when we made substantial changes to the town code to accommodate for it. And the public's always been very good.
Yep. So, people like to respond to this stuff. They're going to save a few bucks. You know, there's also, an impeding as far as an aesthetic type situation. That's always going to play into it. So it's interesting how this stuff kind of plays out. Scott, what's the latest on the Harbs deal? The probe making wine on premises, off premises. There was some admittance there. Fines, restitution to be paid here. But what can you tell us regarding one of the more iconic vineyards out there in Harbs? What's the latest here?
Well, you know, I'm going to be perfectly candid. When that winery for that farm stand was originally proposed, I was actually I was against it because I felt like there was too much activity on too small an area. But ultimately, it was approved. New York State issued the license. New York State regulates the industry. The town has no role or no authority to step in and enforce SLA law. I suspect ultimately they'll work out their issues with the SLA and get back to the business. And Southold's real only role there is trying to wrestle with how to deal with the traffic. We're looking for the state, county support and agencies to come together and come on up with a plan since there's ownership road, the town, Riverhead, Suffolk County. You know, everybody's got a piece of that road and a piece of the ownership. So hopefully we can come up with a long-term plan dealing with the traffic. But I think they'll resolve their issues with the SLA soon enough.
That is going to be a key there. We'll keep an eye on things there. Cell coverage. I remember that being a big topic of conversation with the service, somewhat, you know, a little bit cloudy there. But what can you tell us regarding some of the cell coverage that's transferred?
Yeah, I'm actually drafting a RFP now. I'm going to submit to the public, the industry, and say, look, we have terrible cell coverage. I need proposals from companies that can distribute the infrastructure needed and to get us better cell coverage throughout the entire community, particularly in those more remote areas and those dead zones. I'm talking about smaller, these micro cells that can be installed on hopefully town assets such as telephone. We own all the traffic lights and things. I mean, the street lights and stuff. I'd like to see them go on there. But obviously, some might require telephone pole agreements with LIFR and stuff. But we need the microcells. I know there's been a lot of opting to them up west in villages. But in Southold, it's a different ball game. We have a large population spread out over a very large area. And, we got cell coverage problems, particularly with the topography along the shoreline, things like that. And we got to get coverage in. People are too heavily reliant on their cell phones. We got to make sure people can get those connections when they need to get them. So hopefully I'll get some RFP out shortly and get some responses and say, okay, now let's start getting the coverage that we need out here.
Stuff. A couple of minutes with the supervisor of Southold, Scott Russell. Scott, it was a horrific crash that took place months ago. People were killed speeding. I mean, it was determined. The guy was going over 100 miles an hour. And, of course, it reminded me of what happened years ago out in your neck of the woods. The limousine carrying women who had come from the vineyards out there and a speeding truck. And I always remember that area because I used to drive that area pretty much on a daily basis. And Marty Flatley, you know, he's one of the best police chiefs in the business. There's no question. I was right on the scenes of a lot of this stuff. What can you tell us as far as any repairs have been made as far as safety is concerned to Sound Avenue Route 48 out there? Was there anything put in place? It just dawned on me, in learning about some of the horrific roadways in and around our areas and what we need to do to kind of put people in a more safer type deals.
Yeah, let me just to make sure that the record is clear for everyone, is that the truck itself wasn't speeding. In fact, ultimately, the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office exonerated the truck driver and said quite clearly that he couldn't have avoided the accident even if he wanted to because of the blind spots there. And the DA rested the entire blame onto the limo driver. But also, it's a county road. It's not a town road, so we don't really have the legal authority of putting traffic control devices in place there. We do have a record since the late 1990s asking Suffolk County to correct it, raising the issues of the safety there and asking Suffolk County, which owns the road, to put measures in place and vehicle control devices in place that would make it a safer intersection. To be honest, it's, you know, right now the Southfield Town is being sued along with other agencies by the families of the victims. So I'm really limited as to what I can say. And I've probably said about as I probably made my comments and taken them about as far as I can without you know, and then the rest I have to reserve my comments because of pending litigation and that still hasn't been quite resolved. No, they'll be expected to be successful shortly.
Understood. I appreciate that information. And, you know, listen, why hasn't the county acted quicker? I guess that's the overall question here. It's a county road. Why not somehow put in play here? And I understand what you're saying about the driver and everything else, but hopefully we'll get more information. Finally, on the town budget, Scott Russell, alterations maybe you had to make in this unprecedented type year going into 22. How does the town look overall? Tax levies and everything else, lay it out for us.
Yeah, last year was obviously the COVID costs were going to be part of the fiscal landscape for supervisors for towns for probably foreseeable future. We did well this year. I mean, we got through COVID. It was an expensive year, but we complied with the cap last year. We held the line. This year, we're also compliant with the cap, but, you know, things are starting to look up. You know, sales are taking place now, so there's revenues, there's mortgage tax, things like that that we get. So I just released my budget recently. It does call for a 2.49% ultimate tax increase, but I put a lot of funding in place to address a lot of the things the public's asking for. Road resurfacing, getting the roads back in order, getting sidewalks repaired and up and, you know, running and putting them in places where we don't have them, stormwater mitigation. So, you know, a lot of, you know, to control flooding in the community. So a lot of the expenditures that I'm putting in this budget are things that the public's been asking for and their longstanding issues that had to get put to the side as we wrestled with the pandemic over the last few years. Now we're playing catch up. You know, we're getting back to normal and we're trying to get everything caught up to where we would have been after 2 or 3 years of not being able to function in a normal capacity of being so limited. Well, 2 years anyway. So
all about the catch-up, and certainly that is in play as far as the numbers. He's been a staple in Southfold for a long time. Obvious reasons he's getting it done. His name is Scott Russell. Scott, thanks so much. Let's not have these gaps as we have had here, my friend. That's on me, but we'll reach out to you and have you on periodically. How is that, sir?
And anytime you call me, I'll be there.